Good morning. Good morning, Gracians. Good morning, those who are online. Thank you for tuning in today. Good to have all of us, you know, join in today for our second week of January. Can I still wish Happy New Year or not? Still can, huh? Happy New Year to everybody. So we are in the middle, as you heard, Brother Gideon, we are in the middle of our Meet God prayer and fasting campaign. So how many of you know that MEET is an acronym? Okay, it's important, okay, because MEET stands for more of God. We want more of God, amen? And then the E, what does the E stand for? Encounter. We want to encounter God more. And then what is the second E? Empowerment. We need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And the T stands for thirst. So come and join us if you want more of God, you want to be empowered, and you're thirsting for God. How many of you joined us for our lunchtime prayer meeting this past week? Wow, wonderful. I see many hands going up all around. There were over 200 of us on average coming in daily to pray together. Okay, so if you haven't come, you still have 1 week opportunity to do that. We hope that we will see you there. Personally, it has been such a refreshing time for me in this fasting period. You know, I just felt more focused. I felt more disciplined in my daily routine somehow, right? And I felt like I could really just connect with God very readily every time we went into prayer. I'm not sure if you know what I mean, but that, you know, fasting and prayer just sets you in that place. It's so crucial for us, right, to seek God for His purpose for us. And you know, I want to ask you, do you know what's God's purpose for you? What's God's assignment for you in 2024? How about for your life in general? Do you know what's God's purpose for your life? You know, I asked that question when I was a teenager. I remember when I was 18 or 19 years old, I was already serving very actively in my church, and I had a desire to go into full-time ministry. So I prayed at that time. I prayed and I asked God if He had indeed called me. But I received no confirmation at that time. You know, some of my friends in youth ministry, they too felt they had a full-time calling. And then, you know, they had different confirmations. Some of them received a prophetic word from a pastor. You know, different ways of confirmation. But I didn't receive any of that. And so I thought, oh, maybe that was not God's call upon my life. However, as time progressed, right, that desire continued to stir stronger and stronger in my heart. And so I continued to pray and sought God earnestly. And I committed to fasting weekly, even 24-hour periods every week. I fasted and I prayed, but still no confirmation. And so I waited, right? I waited through my NS days, through my uni days, and then even the first few years of my working life. I waited. And during that time, I got several offers from my previous church and from other Christian organizations to work there, you know, full time. But I did not sense God's clear instructions to accept them. So I had to turn them down. It was painful, you know, but I know that I really wanted to wait on God. I really wanted to be in ministry. And so I envied my friends who were in Bible school, and some of them, they were already pastors. And I asked myself, why do I have to wait so long? You see, like it or not, waiting is part of our experience when it comes to prayer. So right at the start of the year, before you rush into your New Year resolutions, you rush into your action plans, I would like to remind you of the importance of patience in prayer. Patience in prayer. And that's the title of my message today. Everybody say patience. And those online, why don't you type in the chat right now, patience. And the big idea for my message today is we need to pray expectantly and wait patiently. The passage we'll be looking at today is Psalm 25. It's a beautiful psalm that I want to walk us through. And I'm going to begin with verse 1 right now. Psalm 25, verse 1 says this: "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, In you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Verse 3. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous, meaning wicked or evil. So you see, from the first three verses of Psalm 25, you can tell immediately that this is a prayer. This psalm is a prayer. The psalmist David was talking to God. But this prayer is quite special, unlike most of our prayers, because it's an acrostic psalm, okay? Where the first letter of every verse corresponds to successive letters in the Hebrew alphabet. It's an acrostic psalm. And it was written as a song and designed for easy memorization. Indeed, many verses in this psalm are worth memorizing, and I would challenge you to do that. If any psalm were to jump up at you, I would challenge you to memorize those verses. And the context for Psalm 25 was that David here, the psalmist, he was in danger, right? He was hated and he was pursued by his enemies. You can tell that he was feeling overwhelmed by his circumstances and desperately needed God's guidance and strength. So what did he do? He lifted up his soul to God, bearing his heart, crying out to God. And it was raw, authentic, and sincere. But he also prayed earnestly for God to guide and deliver him. But here is something very important for us to note, all right? Note his posture. His posture, not just the words of his prayer, but his posture in his prayer. Now, that posture is a very strong theme in this psalm. We see in verse 3 there, which we read earlier, it says, indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. And two other times, David mentions waiting for God. Verse 5 says this, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you, I wait all the day long. And verse 21, may integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I what? Wait, talk to me. I wait for you. You see, David adopted the posture of waiting. Although he urgently needed deliverance, he urgently needed guidance, but he understood the importance of waiting. And then interestingly, we see right at the end of the psalm, verse 22, it ends simply with this phrase, redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. That's how it ends, right, this psalm. So you notice that the tone of this psalm is very subdued. None of the outbursts of joy and victory, right, that mark many other psalms. Instead, David's prayer is marked by patient waiting. Now, maybe some of you are in a similar situation and you know that you need guidance and help from God. I believe that some of you are in that situation, and I know that God's word for you today is wait. Yep, that's how waiting is like. Right? Waiting. Okay? Because some of us, you know, wait can seem such a boring and frustrating thing, right? No one likes to wait. We usually see waiting as, you know, a waste of time, unnecessary delay or slow down, right? And personally, I, you know, slow down, this instruction, right, is the most frustrating phrase that I heard from my wife when we were in our road trip in New Zealand recently, just a year plus ago. You know, we were driving thousands of kilometers, and I love to drive fast, right? I think many of you can relate to that. And so it was so frustrating, right? Every time my wife would be like, hey, slow down. Hey, slow down, you know? Repeatedly, I hear that instruction. And it was so painful, right, to keep at 90 kilometers per hour. I think you know what I mean. Because the New Zealand traffic police, they are very alert, okay? In fact, I got stopped once and given a warning. And so my wife is like, slow down, slow down. And I also dislike traffic lights. You know how much time I would have saved if I didn't have to stop at all the traffic lights? So, you know, we don't like it. We don't like to wait, right? But there's strong theological and practical significance in the idea of waiting for God. You see, the Hebrew word for wait, it was used 3 times in this psalm. It does not carry the exact same meaning as our understanding of this word, wait. In fact, it's the opposite, right? In a sense, it's an opposite of the boring and frustrating kind of waiting or delay. You see, the Hebrew word wait here actually means hopeful expectation. It means hopeful expectation. We read earlier, it says, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. It's hopeful, right? It says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Why was he willing to wait all day long? Because he was highly optimistic. He was hopeful that God will indeed lead and teach him. That's why he was willing to wait all day long. And it's like waiting for the sun to rise. This hopeful expectation is like waiting for the sun to rise. I remember in the army, we had these long route marches, right? 24 kilometers. It was overnight. And we were all looking forward, you know, to having for the sun to rise. And we know all our pain and suffering will be over. And so there is a psalm that really describes this very well. It's found in Psalm 130, 130 verses 5 to 6. Psalm 130 verse 5 says this, I wait for the Lord. It's the same word here. My soul waits, and in His word, I hope. You see the word hope there. And then verse 6, my soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. And so as sure as the fact that morning will come, as sure as the fact that the sun will rise, God will come and He will intervene whenever we call upon Him. Amen. Amen. It's an expectant, eager, and earnest kind of waiting. And that's why our prayers should be expectant and earnest as well. And that's my first main point, that we should pray expectantly. For David, because of that hopeful expectation, he could declare confidently. We see in verse 8 of Psalm 25, you see his declaration. He said, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep His covenant and His testimonies. So you can see here in this part of the prayer, it's not really a request, right? It is a declaration of confidence, hopeful expectation. David is saying, God, He will lead. He will instruct His people. He will teach in response to my prayers. And we can learn a lot from these Gratians. We can learn a lot from how he was praying. Praying with expectation that God will respond to us. And so let me ask you, when you ask God for guidance or make a request of God, do you expect an answer? Do you expect God to answer you? Right? It sounds like a silly question, right? But I think many of us, and in my own personal experience as well, sometimes we ask without expecting God to answer favorably. And that's why we get surprised. Wow, my prayer answered. Some of us, we pray like that, and such prayers that we don't expect God to answer, they are generally weak and lack faith. And they don't honor, they don't glorify God because there's a lack of trust in Him and His character. But David, he was confident, not in his own strength or his eloquent prayers, but in the character and nature of God. He knew his God. Psalm 25 verse 8 says, God is good and upright. He declared. And then in verse 10, it says, God is loving and faithful. In verse 16, he said that God is gracious. Now, when David declared all these attributes about God, he did that with a keen awareness of his own sins and his need of forgiveness. Let's see that in Psalm 25, verse 6 to 7. He says, remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. And then in verse 18, consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. He knew he was sinful and unworthy, just like us, right? But he also knew that God was merciful and forgiving. And he appealed to God's goodness and steadfast love rather than his own merits. You see, in spite of his flaws, God was still faithful to his covenant. And sometimes we feel sinful, right? And that hinders us from praying expectantly. Therefore, we must learn to appeal to God's goodness and faithfulness as well. Not appeal to, you know, how pious or how righteous we are. But God is merciful. So do you know your God? Do you know Him? And when you know Him experientially and not just intellectually, you will be able to pray expectantly based on God's character and nature. And that's my first application for all of us today. Pray expectantly based on God's character and God's nature. You see, God's response will always be according to His will and His ways, right? So if you ask for what is in line with His character and will, your prayer will please God. It will honor Him and He will answer. We see in verse 12 and 13 of Psalm 25, verse 12 says this, who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. See, God will instruct the person who fears him and is based on his love and his grace. And gracious, you must know God longs to bless you. He longs to cause you to inherit His promises and to prosper your soul, that you shall abide in well-being of your soul. He wants to bless all of you more than you know. So in this Meet God campaign, let me urge you to pray strong, pray expectantly, pray with confidence based on God's character. You know, some of us, we start our prayers this way, right? We say, please God, please do this and do that for me, okay? Or some of us, we say, God, you see, I have served you faithfully all these years. I have given my tithes and offering faithfully. I read my Bible every day. So God, please answer my prayer. Right? Some of us pray like that. So today, I would like us to change that way of praying. Instead of doing that, we declare God's attributes and how that is aligned to what you're asking for. Declare His attributes and how that is aligned to what you are asking for. For example, you can say, God, you are the healer. You are all powerful. And you are the giver of life. Therefore, I receive your healing in Jesus' name. You can see the difference. We are praying expectantly based on God's character. Or you can say, God, you are my strength. You are my fortress. You are my loving Father. So therefore, I know you will give me the strength to accomplish this very difficult task. Right? That is praying according to God's attributes. Oh Lord, according to your mercy and your grace, not according to my righteousness, but according to your mercy and grace, please help me. So I hope you see the difference. It's very powerful when you pray that way, and it's very God-centered. And if you learn to pray expectantly based on God's character, it will change your prayer life. Amen. And so what is your prayer request right now? What is your request to God? You know, earlier on, Brother Gideon led us in a prayer. What was that prayer? Think about it again. And then I want you to think about what are the attributes of God that correspond to that request. What are they? For example, if I'm asking God, God, I need provision. What are some attributes of God that correspond to that? Those online, you can type in the chat if you want to. What are the attributes of God? God is provider, right? God is faithful, right? God owns the universe. He's able to do that. So let's think about what are God's attributes. If they do not correspond to God's attributes, don't even ask. Okay? Right? So after you pray expectantly, okay, as we have talked about just now, pray expectantly according to God's attributes. After you pray, there will most of the time be a period of waiting. Sometimes God answers immediately, right? And that's wonderful. We hope that all of our prayers are like that, but not all our prayers are answered immediately. But what happens if He doesn't answer immediately? So we have no choice but to wait. But how do you wait? Wait patiently. And it's clear that David had to wait. Even David had to wait. The answers didn't come straight away, and he struggled. You see in verse 16 to 18, he said, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and trouble, and forgive all my sins." You see, I think we can relate to that, right? He struggled, like we do. And he was hated as well. Verse 19, "Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me." So David had to struggle. He had to wait. But David chose a posture of waiting patiently for Yahweh's response, trusting in his perfect time and wisdom as he works everything out for his good. And this kind of trust in waiting, it actually marked the difference between David and Saul's attitudes to God. Remember the story of King Saul and King David? In 1 Samuel 13, Saul was going to war with the Philistines and he needed God's guidance. Remember that story? But he couldn't wait for the prophet Samuel to come and offer the necessary sacrifices. Because he was the king, he was not the priest. He was not supposed to offer the sacrifices. But he couldn't wait and he disobeyed God's laws and he did it himself. He didn't wait patiently because he didn't trust in God's time and wisdom. And that was Saul's mistake. But you see, David was a completely different story. Although he knew he was chosen by God to be king of Israel, he never took things into his hands. In 1 Samuel 26, we read that he had the chance to kill King Saul. And then if he killed King Saul, he can claim the throne, right? But instead, he waited patiently for God to orchestrate his ascension. He waited. And do you know how long he waited? How long did he have to wait? How many of you know? If you have read the Bibles, he waited over 20 years. From the time that the prophet Samuel anointed him as king over Israel, he had to wait over 20 years before becoming king over all of Israel. Imagine that. As a teenager, he was anointed and he'd be like, "Oh yes, I'm going to be king of Israel." 1 week passed, nothing happened. 1 month passed, nothing happened. 10 years passed, nothing happened. Imagine the questions that he had in his mind. When will God's promise be fulfilled? But he chose to be patient with hopeful expectation. Friends, if God has promised, He will do it. He will do it. Amen. After you pray, let Him make it happen. Let Him make it happen. They always say, right? Let go and let God. And can I just, you know, add this as well? Let's learn not to grab from God. Let's not grab things from God. You know, as a parent, sometimes when I see my children, and it doesn't happen very often, thankfully, but they're snatching from each other, right? They snatch things from each other, and I'll be very upset when they do that. And worse still, if they snatch from me, I'll be like, whoa, the audacity of that. You know, snatching things is so, you know, rude and disrespectful, right? And it shows how spoiled new children they are. But you guess what? We do that to God. When we grab things from Him without waiting, we insist on our own timing, we insist on doing things our way. We grab from God. Think about this. Some of us, we want that position in the company. You know, some of us, we pray and we ask God for that, you know, very lucrative business contract. And if people, they resort to underhanded means, you know, and unethical means, and they begin to try to get that, that is how we grab from God. How about this? Some of us, we want to drive that newest Tesla car. Wow. And then, but we know that we can't afford it, right? We don't want to wait for the time where we are going to save up for it, you know. What do? Take a loan. We take a loan and we know we are not able to service the loan. That is how sometimes we grab from God. And think about this as well. How about the idea of premarital sex? Whoa. Isn't that a way that we grab from God? That we want the pleasure of sex without waiting for marriage. And that's how we grab from God. And friends, grabbing from God will only result in pain and destruction sooner or later. And so I want to encourage all of us never to grab from God. Tell your neighbor right now, no snatching. Those online, you can type in the chat as well. No snatching. I mean, someone tries to snatch you, you beat their hand, right? No snatching. So instead of snatching, change your perspective about waiting. Be patient and hopeful. Surrender to God's perfect time. See, David was able to do that because of his intimate relationship with Yahweh. He had a very close relationship and that enabled him to wait patiently. And look at this amazing verse. In my opinion, one of the most wonderful and shocking verses in the book of Psalms. You see, in verse 14, says this, "The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He makes known to them His covenant." The NIV puts it this way, "The Lord confides in those who fear Him." The Lord confides. And in verse 15, it says, "My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He will pluck my feet out of the net." David's confidence lay in the friendship of the Lord. And his eyes were fixed on Yahweh. It's amazing that God offers us His friendship. And He wants to confide in us. Now, please be very clear over here that this friendship doesn't mean we are equals with God. It doesn't mean that. It says that the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear Him. Right? It speaks of a special friendship that comes with deep awe and reverence. It's not the kind of friendship that we take lightly or casually, but we must give Him the due respect and honor as God. And the Hebrew word for friendship here means secret counsel. Secret counsel. So the essence, okay, if you ask what does friendship of the Lord mean, the essence of this friendship is the sharing of true desires, of intimate thoughts, and even secrets of the heart. And that's why the verse goes on to say that he makes known his covenant with his people. He shares his covenant from his heart to his people. And this means that we can truly know God. We can know him not just in a superficial or patronizing way, but we can know his true desires, his thoughts, and his will. Remember, like what you know, Pastor Wilson preached about last week, that seeking God's heart and mind over a matter, remember that? It's because of the friendship of the Lord that he will share his heart and his mind. So God desires intimacy with us. And when there's friendship, there is trust. And that enables us to wait patiently in hope for him in prayer. And so I'd like to draw out one last application for us today here. You see, the friendship of the Lord and having the Lord confide in us, it means that God, we can expect God to speak to us. We can expect God to speak to us. Now, perhaps some of you find it difficult to hear God speak. Or perhaps you don't really believe that God will speak to you. But let me ask you right now, what is this over here? It's the Bible, right? I know it's a hard copy Bible that many of us haven't seen for a long time. But it's the Bible. And what is the Bible? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It means that God wants to speak to us because he left us his Word. And you don't need to read too far into the Bible to see countless examples of God speaking to people. It happened throughout the Bible. And one example is in Exodus 33, verse 11. It says, "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." God spoke to Moses like he spoke to a friend, sharing his intimate thoughts and desires. So if you fear God, if you have a relationship with him, he wants to speak to you. Amen. Tell your neighbor right now, God wants to speak to you. You know, it's not reserved for pastors or those, you know, who are specially gifted, you know, prophets or things like that. It is part of waiting patiently in hope that we expect God to speak. As you ask him to guide, to instruct and teach you, be in a posture of waiting for God to speak. So what was your prayer request? What are the attributes of God that correspond to that prayer request? And then, after you have prayed, you wait for God. Wait to hear his voice. Amen. God wants to speak to you and I. You know, continuing the story that I started off in my message earlier, it was painful, it was not easy waiting all those years for God's confirmation on my calling. But through that period of waiting, my desire to serve God in full-time ministry, you know, just grew stronger. And I grew closer to God. And then finally, in 2012, after 12 to 13 years of waiting, God spoke to me very clearly. And I got undeniable confirmation that it was time to step into ministry. I just heard God so clearly. And at the time, I was super excited. And you know, the feeling was like being set free from prison. Wow, set free from prison. I can finally do what God has designed me to do. But of course, there were lingering thoughts in me. You know, I felt like, hey, I was a bit late to go into ministry. Because many of my friends, well, I see they were already pastors. They had already graduated from Bible college. But here am I just starting out. But, you know, I just faithfully, as I entered the ministry, faithfully did what I was called to do, what I was given. And by the grace of God, you know, I grew and I can stand here before you today serving as a pastor and loving it. Praise God. And you know, I'm humbled and amazed. Yes, let's give God praise. Amazed. I'm so humbled by how God has used me And how he has even expanded the scope and influence of my ministry, especially over the past few years. And you know what? I didn't have to grab it. I didn't have to strive for it in my own strength. Because I know He is the one who made it happen. He is the one who opened the doors and made a way for me. God was preparing me for this very heavy responsibility, and I grew in intimacy with God. Through it all, I'm so glad I waited patiently in prayer for God's guidance, and I trusted in His timing and wisdom. So, Gracians, in this season of prayer and fasting today, I want to urge all of us to pray expectantly and wait patiently. Pray expectantly. You can expect that God will answer according to His character and His nature. And then we need to wait patiently. He will guide you, and He will show you His purposes for your life in 2024. Hallelujah. Shall we bow our heads and close our eyes today? Thank you, Lord. I want to call us to a response to God's word today. You didn't come just to hear me speak. You came to hear God speak to you. And I'm praying and I'm believing with you that God will indeed speak to you even today. Some of you have been seeking and waiting on God for answers to your prayers. You have been waiting. Perhaps it's a desperate need. Maybe it's a health need that you have. Maybe it's a financial need, but you know it's been a long wait. Today, it's time to surrender and trust His perfect time and wisdom. And you say, God, I don't want to grab from you. You say, God, I know you are loving, you are good, and you are faithful. I want to do it your way and your time. If that is you, Gracians, I want you to raise your hand to the Lord as an act of surrender. Raise your hand as an act of surrender. Yes, thank you for the hands on my right. Raise your hands as an act of surrender to the Lord and say, God, I trust your time and your wisdom. Thank you. Hands going all around, up there in the gallery as well. Thank you. I see those hands at the back as well. Raise your hands and respond to God and say, God, I surrender. I surrender. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you. You may put your hands down. The second group of you that I want to speak to, many of you are seeking God for direction in some area of your life. And you know you need God to speak to you. You need God's guidance. Maybe you have never recognized God's voice. It's not that God isn't speaking, but sometimes we don't recognize His voice. Maybe you find it very difficult to hear God. But today, you say, God, let me hear your voice. And you need God to speak into your situation, whatever that situation may be. If that is you, why don't you respond and raise your hand to the Lord as an indication to say, God, speak to me today, Lord. Thank you. I see those hands on my left here. Yes. In the middle there. Thank you. Raise your hand and respond to God. Yes. Up on the gallery as well. Thank you. You say, God, speak to me. I need to hear your voice. I want to know your will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me right now? Just stand with me. You know, as we're going to sing a song, I want to challenge all of you to respond, to take another step and come to the altar. Come as a sign of your surrender to Him. To say, God, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in your time. It's difficult to wait, but I'm going to trust in you. And if you want to come, you say, God, I want to hear you speak to me. You come to the altar. Let us pray with you. Let us journey with you. Amen. Let's sing the song.
So I will lift my eyes, know within me Christ, Holy God, my life is yours. my hope on things above. Let this fire burn for you, God. My life is yours, so I will lift. So I will lift my eyes.
Come on, just begin to respond to him, church.
Within me cries, Holy God, my life is yours.
That's right, Lord, we place our life in your hands.
My hope on things above. Let this fire burn for you, God. My life is yours.
Jesus, bring us deeper, Lord.
Lead me on deeper, deeper with you.
Come on, won't you just cry out to him?
Surrender.
Just begin to surrender all your prayer requests unto him.
With all I am, I'll give. With every breath I'll sing, your glory I live for.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.